Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, yeah. A sea story. That's what I meant to call it. Not a war story. A sea story.
Okay.
Yeah,
tell a good sea story.
You got a few minutes? Can we do this?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Please. Of course. Why wouldn't we?
All right.
No vulgarity, please.
No. There's no vulgarity.
No cussing like a sailor.
No. There's an accent, though.
What kind of an accent?
British.
Oh, that's fine.
What kind of accent were you afraid of?
Well, we can make fun of them.
The ones that we cannot.
Okay. Anyway.
Let's just say if you did, like, if you tried to mimic somebody from East Asia or Mexico or something like that.
I got you.
We could end up in a little
like bit. A South Park episode kind of thing.
Yeah, we could probably end up in a little bit of trouble.
Okay, fair enough. So that's not happening.
But if you're mimicking a Brit, no problem.
Okay, yeah,
no problem. Go ahead with your story.
All right, so it's 2007, and we're in the North Arabian Sea, which is just outside the entrance to the Arabian Gulf. More people know that as the Persian Gulf. Mm-hmm. It's right off the coast of Pakistan, and that's where we're hanging out. John C. Stennis was the ship that I was on at the time. And I take off one evening and I'm flying with one of my best friends in the Navy. He was the guy who actually inspired me to go to Top Gun. His name is Rob Kim, call sign Lick.
Why was his call sign Lick?
Lick Kim, Lickum.
Got it.
Or call sign, make fun of his name, yeah. So Lick and I blast off. He's the flight lead that night. And I was a pretty junior wingman still at the time. I wasn't a flight lead yet. And we go up through Pakistan and we get into Afghanistan. And what you did in Operation Enduring Freedom, what we did at that point was we would show up and we would do a mission called XCAS, which is where you just go hang out in an assigned area and kind of wait for something to happen. You had all these different forces on the ground, special forces, Army, Navy SEALs, other foreign NATO forces. And we would go hang out and just kind of wait for something to happen. So it's nighttime.
You just circle around?
Yeah, we would be given assigned a kind of a regional area, if you will, kind of an area of operation where we would hang out and we would just hold and kind of conserve our fuel. And we'd have a jet full of weapons and just kind of wait for someone basically to need our help.
And were you already Top Gun at this point?
No. This is before all that. So, but this was the guy, I'm flying with the guy this night who inspired me to do that and kind of motivated me to do that.
Nice.
And he's one of my best friends to this day.
Good.
So we're hanging out, we're flying. And we called it the voice of God, the controlling agency there over Afghanistan, comes up over the radio and says, our call sign that night as a flight was Mischief 2-1. That was our flight call
Mischief
sign.
Mischief 2-1.
Yeah, everyone on an air tasking order, which is all the different air assets in a theater, you're given a specific call sign every night. And ours was Mischief 2-1 that night. And so the voice comes up and says, hey, Mischief 2-1, we need you to proceed to this area. Right now we've got a TIC, which stands for troops in contact. So meaning somebody's under attack, they need some help. Mm-hmm. So we go blustering over there. We show up on the area and I remember Lick. So we had our own frequency that we could talk on, kind of like we here in the studio, we talk on our own little frequency to Sam.
Room.
Nobody else can hear it. Same idea. We're Lick and I are talking on our frequency and he comes up and he goes, all right, Ahab, we're getting ready to check in. Are you ready for this? I'm like, I'm ready. And I hadn't seen a whole lot of combat at this point. And he says, you ready for this? Let's do it. So he goes, all right, stand by for the check-in. And we switch frequencies. And now we're on the frequency that the guys on the ground, that we don't know what's going on. We don't know anything yet. We just know where we were told to go. And so he comes up on the radio and he goes, Mischief 2-1, checking in, ready for tasking. We kind of wait, cricket. Tries again, Mischief 2-1. Flight of two F-18s ready for tasking. And then we hear the microphone key on the other end, and all you hear is da 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 ding 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 ding, like bullets hitting and firing.
Yeah. So and you know this is legit.
Yeah. So if you ever hear a noise that makes your blood freeze, this is one of those moments for me. I hear this on the radio and I think, oh my gosh, I can't, what's going on down there?
Right.
And now he goes, all right. He kind of like almost like Lick telling me to buckle up. He comes up on our frequency and he goes, all right, dude, something's going on there. He's like, we got to be ready to go. You ready, Ahab? I'm ready. He goes, okay, I'm going to try one more time. And he's got a sense of urgency in his voice. And he goes, Mischief 2-1, flight of two F-18s. We are ready to help you. What do you need? And we hear the microphone key again and a lot of machine gun fire. And then we hear the most cheerful British voice I've ever heard in my life comes up. And he goes, oh, cheerio, Mischief. Welcome to the fray. And I'm just like, what is happening here? And he goes,
Give you coordinates then or what?
Yeah. So then he comes up and we have this whole conversation with the guy. And by the way, every time he keys the microphone,
oh, cheerio.
You hear bullets flying in the background and hitting things. He's like, well, we're in a bit of a pickle here, mischief. Say when you're ready for the situation report. Ready for the situation
we're
report.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Been ready for about 5 minutes.
Well, we're surrounded by the enemy and we're around a large burning building on the ground. Say when contact. And contact means, do you see what I'm talking about? So we're up there. We're at 14,000 feet. It's pitch black night, no moon. And all we have is night vision goggles. And we're over Afghanistan, which, by the way, most of that country doesn't even have electricity where we are. So, wow. So we look down and there's a giant fireball on the ground. And we say, yeah, we see the fireball. He's like, well, if it's happy with you, I need you to come in as low and as fast as possible and hopefully keep the buggers' heads down long enough for us to make a retreat. How's that sound with you? Is that happy with you, mischief?
Is that happy with you?
Yeah, it's kind of a British. I'm not doing a very good job of it, but essentially, you know, that's how they speak. And he's just so cheerful, and there's bullets flying in the background still. And so what's cool is Lick was super experienced, and I was new, and he goes, hey, this is you, man. He's like, this is your chance. And if we need a break, let me tell you.
No, we're fine. I was just checking where we were.
And so he goes, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to fly high cover for you. I'm going to hang out high and you go down and you do this. And what we're doing in this mission here is they're asking for what's called a show of force. There's a lot of times in combat where the bad guys are so close to the good guys that you risk hurting the good guys, friendly mm-hmm, fire, mm-hmm. if you try to employ munitions or something on the bad guys. So they're asking, hey, we want you to come in and try to scare these guys just long enough for us to get away. Hmm. And so I tighten my seatbelt and I'm like, oh man, here we go. I'm about to fly 100 feet over the ground, pitch black at night. I can't see anything. I'm over mountainous terrain.
That's my next question. Yeah. How do you know you're not going to run into a mountain? Afghanistan is incredibly mountainous.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So we have a thing called a radar altimeter that tells us our actual height above the ground. It's like a radar that bounces off the ground and tells us how high you are. And then I have night vision goggles. Now, everyone thinks this is a great tool, and it is a good tool, night vision goggles, but it's kind of like looking through two little soda straws. And especially on a moonless night, you don't see a whole lot. So I'm pointed towards the ground, trying to pick up speed, and I'm trying to get as fast as I can. And Lick's talking to me the whole time. He's going, all right, man, if I see a missile in the air, I'll call your brake, turn left or right. Just do what I tell you to do. And I start to fly in here. So I'm at 100 feet flying over the ground towards this coordinate this guy had given us in this giant fireball. And I fly right over this fireball at like 500 knots. And as I fly over it, that British soldier keys the mic and I hear the sound of my own jet noise in my ears over his radio. And he's like, oh, bravo, well done, mischief, well done. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I like pull back on the stick. I'm getting altitude above me, like getting away from the ground. I'm like, thank God I survived that. And he goes, if it's happy with you, can you do it one more time for us?
Did you?
Well, of course. What are we going to tell you? No, we're good, man. Thanks.
No, we're good. We gave you all we got.
we are there to support the troops on the ground. And so came around and did it all over again. And once again, pulled off. And this time he came back and he said, well done, mischief. That was what we needed. We are retreating. Thank you so much. The next pint's on us. Now, I never met these guys, never knew their names or anything. But that was like a day in the life of at least the war that I fought.
You ever want to find him?
Oh, of course I do. I have no idea how I'd do that. I don't know, put a Facebook ad out like, hey, who's the guy in 2007?
Aren't there ways to figure out who was where when?
Yeah, I don't think my memory would even be good enough at this point to go back and figure out what exact mission or day that was or anything. Mm. I could look at my logbook, I guess, but
Facebook ad. He said to me, if it would be happy to you, could you do it again?
That could be any British.
It would be happy to you.
If it's happy with you.
Well, no, it's not happy with me, but I'll do it if I have to. It's my job. You moron.
Well, they're so polite, and that's what really got me.
Come on in.
That's what got me, and this is something I actually talk about in some of the public speaking I do, is that your attitude can take a pretty bad situation, and it can lift other people up. So if you find yourself in grim circumstances or other people are, and you can have a positive attitude, you can not only change the way you view a certain situation, but even the people around you. And that was a big takeaway for me that night, as I thought, how is this guy so cheerful? He's obviously clearly getting shot at.
Because you're
and the next breath could be his last.
Because you're dropping bombs in front of him and he gets to go home now.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, quick break. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.